This is Javier Creature Marks Watch, thanking you for joining us on Weeby Geeks.
And welcome to another episode of Weeby Geeks. It's episode 93, and it's October.
Ooh.
I think that subtle hint was kind of cool, because we got a guest this week.
Yay!
And it's been a while. And I cannot get to my phone to turn off the mute. Oh, got it. There we go. So, things I should have done in pre-show.
Man, this is already falling apart before it started this week. Fearless leader can't even get his phone to mute.
Well, okay. Fearless leader's been busy with other stuff. Such as, we have a 100th episode coming up 7 weeks, and we've already got first set of prizes coming in. Right. And I want to thank the fine folks at Zenoscope, because part of the prize package, officially hardcover book, Alice in Wonderland, and the hardcover book for Oz.
Nice.
So, that right there is a good chunk of change. If you go look online, I think those are valued about $25 each. So, we're already at a $50 prize. And it's growing. It's growing. We have some stuff possibly coming from Valiant. Some stuff possibly coming from Mimico, with the fine makers of MimoBot, MimoPower, and the BatteryBot, which, if you've heard me before in the past, I love Mimicos. I love the MimoBots. My daughter has a 32-gig one. My wife has two, both 2 gigs. I have a 16, I think 3, 8 gig. I have like 9 Star Wars ones and 1 Halo. One 16 gig, I think 4 or 5 are 3 or 4 are 8 gig and the rest are 2 gig. So, I don't know, I got one or two 4 gigs and the others are 2 gigs. So, I mean, they're great. They're USB drives with personality. They come with icons and avatars to customize your stuff with. The Star Wars ones have sound bites with them. It's so when you insert, when you connect your USB drive, it'll make some chirp at you. When you take it out, it makes a chirp of whatever random tone. So pictures of the books will be going up with a thank you to Zenoscope on the site this week, by this weekend, so you can see what the books look like. As prizes keep coming in, they're going to go up on the site.
It's going to be like a big old basket, like an Easter. Just keep stuffing it with more and more stuff. And then all of a sudden you wake up and it's like, oh, it's an Easter basket of stuff.
Whoever wins this is going to think Christmas came early.
Have you timed it out on the calendar? What time period will the 100th episode air? Is that in December?
Let's see. This is 93.
Yeah.
Next week's 94. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. How about the week of Thanksgiving?
Whoa.
So the prize, and I'm thinking the week of Thanksgiving, it's going to be a pre-recorded show. I'm hoping we could get on from the Well Watchers, Brian, with the Y, the host of the main host of Well Watchers. And I'm thinking with that one, since this past Saturday, can you believe, was the first Saturday in forever. I think we're going, 50 years? No Saturday morning cartoons.
I know you were a little worked up over there.
I was.
Like, what is this outrage? How can they? You could put the peanut butter with my chocolate? Kind of outrage. You got chocolate in my peanut butter. That's what I was hearing.
Okay. Oh, wait. Okay. Never mind. I had a panic moment there. I'm like, I'm not seeing a waveform on y'all's track. It's there. To me, Saturday morning cartoons is a ritual. I mean, that was that one time. It's like, forget sleeping in on Saturday. I know I can. I could do that tomorrow, Sunday. I got to get up and watch my cartoons.
I mean, I I remember it too. Loved it as a kid. You know, used to also, you know, especially in the fall when they had a new lineup, you could like stack up the three networks and see which one's going to offer you the best show. And yeah, I was, you know, flip around if it was reruns and things like that. But you, I mean, look at how cartoons are delivered now. When we were growing up, to think that there was going to be an entire network that was pretty much nothing but cartoons, a cartoon network. And then on top of that, you have Disney Network and you have Nickelodeons and they each have multiple versions of themselves. So there's cartoons like on 7 days a week, 24 hours. So, and that's not even counting the streaming stuff. So yeah, does like Saturday morning cartoons really, does it do it for anybody anymore?
You know, it's just not the same.
But it's a pain in the butt. I'll be honest, just because, you know, having worked in TV, Saturday morning cartoons or a block of cartoons like that is just a pain in the butt because the FCC rules are so tight, you can barely advertise in it. So it's like a 6-hour chunk of time that's free, that a local programming is not getting a dollar out of. So you know, it's kind of hard to, when you're, you know, thinking of the bottom line financially, it's kind of hard to really back it.
Right. Well, my thought is, though, this is a chance, because I know Brian's talked about Saturday morning cartoon theme songs on his show. We could just reminisce about Saturday morning cartoons in general. What was our favorites growing up? What are our favorite, you know, what are our favorite cartoons now? I think it's a great little topic for the Thanksgiving show. Now, while everyone's enjoying, you know, do a little reminiscing. So that's my goal for Thanksgiving. But the week after that is when definitely we'll talk about, you know, we will have before that show what's going to be required for winning the prize. And the announcement will be made by the second, I'm thinking either first or second week of December. I haven't figured that out yet.
Have we included the amendments where they must come over and like clean my house? No. Is that one of the stipulations for the contest?
No.
No?
No.
I thought we talked about this, Mike. I thought that was going to be it.
No.
I really need my house cleaned.
Not this contest.
That's
for the 101st episode. So.
The lost episode that never gets aired.
But like I said earlier, we have a guest this week. So let me see if I could get them on. So we were able to make the connection, and we have from Wrong Turn 6, which is a great horror series as it is, and with it being October, great subject matter. We have Sadie Katz with us. How are you doing tonight, Sadie?
Oh, good. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Sadie's been on a whirlwind press tour, so to speak, and we have caught her trying to scarf some food down. So it's all right. It's, you know, we're a laid-back show, and it's like being at a restaurant and just sitting around the table, everyone having a little something to nosh on, and we're just here to chat. So how's
I'm doing that, and I'm vaping. I'm using my vape.
Oh, vaping, yeah.
What do you think? To stop smoking, you vape?
How do you like the transition with the vaping? I heard most people like say it's an easy transition, actually.
Yeah, it's fun. I go between vaping and chain smoking, but
how long have you been a smoker?
Only a few years. Oh, okay. You know, I will tell you, when we filmed Wrong Turn, we're in Bulgaria, and Bulgaria is a beautiful, fabulous, wonderful country in Sofia. But I swear to God, every time they would say cut, I was like, this is the greatest country ever. Everyone will pull out a cigarette. Like in LA, if you say you want a cigarette, there's like massive shaming going on. But in Bulgaria, you'd see like a mom, like, you know, with a buggy and kids and like chain smoking. And you know, because cigarettes are like $1.50 a pack there. It's wow. Like, you know what? It used to be okay in the 50s here. Like you could go on an airplane and smoke cigarettes.
Do you feel like it's, you know, especially when you've seen it in a different country, you think it's really getting to the point where they're attacking smokers? Like, if you ever just have a cigarette in your hand, do people just really look at you like you just beat a baby?
Yeah. Yes. Like, even in New York, like, I went to go see a play, and it was, like, this crazy thing where, like, you're in New York, okay? New York's, like, supposed to be this tough town, and everyone was like, you know, you really need to stop doing that, you know, the smoking. I was like, we're in New York. You can't honk cigarettes. I mean, you can't honk horns, and you can't smoke cigarettes. So, you know, now I'm doing the patch, and then, you know, it's like this huge thing, and I bet if everyone just like chilled out, I'd probably still smoke. But I can do it in peace. I'm just kidding. I know it's bad.
So tell us about Wrong Turn 6.
Well, on I'll tell you, I just got to finally watch it yesterday. Vox sent me a screener.
Nice.
It's been, awesome.
Which has been, like, really a weird thing to promote this movie. I'm seeing how bad my hair is. It's been a really weird thing to promote the movie and not be able to see the whole movie. And you know what? I was so glad I wasn't talking out of my ass. It's actually pretty good. It was really enjoyable. The kills are really gross.
Nice. That's probably the hardest thing for a sequel, especially when you get up to number 6, is like, how do you surprise the audience anymore, right?
Well, they did. There's a couple that you go like, oh, that, I don't know, that's wrong. Disgusting. Like, that's great. That's cool. This one, you know what's cool is Fox, like, brought the franchise and they put Valeri to direct it. And this is, I don't want to put down the other one because the fans like them and I like them as a fan. But, like, I want to say that this was, like, you have the first one. Now, you can't touch the first one because the first one was the first one. And let's just leave that alone because it was great. But, like, I want to say the second, third, and fourth were, like, they were what they were. They were really great, violent things. And this movie, to me, feels like an epic movie. It feels like if you're a fan of the Wrong Turn movies, you're watching it and you're like, okay, we're setting it all up again. Like, if you're a fan, you're like, yes, like, this they gave to us. And that was exciting to watch. Like, it was exciting to, on number 6, to come out and say, like, hey, this is for you fans. You hung out. Who does that on number 6? Does that? They're just like, oh, it's number 6. So I was excited. Even, like, the music, I wish I could remember the guy's name who did the music for it. But, you know, you have, like, the little, because it takes place in West Virginia, and they really gave homage to that. And so they kind of gave a little bit of the backstory of this, like, hillbilly, you know, West Virginian family, the Hillikers. And that was really cool. And it actually has a plot.
Wait a minute. This is a horror movie, right?
Wait a minute.
It's just stabby, stabby, sexy, sexy all the time. That's all horror movies are.
I was like, wait a minute. And we knew when we were filming it that it was kind of special and kind of gross. And I'm not saying that it's not totally been demented, because it is demented. There's stuff going on that you're like, what? But it's also, in a way, I want to say it's like a fantasy and setting you up for, like, okay, kid, you hung out with all these, you hung out with all of them. And Anthony Ilott does this great job. He's a stockbroker. I mean, they set him up. You remember, Anthony Ilott is an English actor who came from the West End. This is his first movie, but he's a real, genuine actor. He's really good. So that's kind of cool, you know? And he comes in and he has screwed over all his friends on accident and lost their money. And we see that he has slit his wrists. He's taken medicine and he has some family members. And what do you know? There are family members in West Virginia. Ah! And they own the hot spring, you know? And there's some wacky, you know, wacky relative played by myself and Chris Jarvis, who's a very good actor. And we're a little off.
And well, it is West Virginia.
It's West Virginia. But they, you know, in that, there was no character. There wasn't any characters that didn't kind of have a B storyline. Which, like, that's Frank. He didn't give any character who didn't have some personality or some agenda. And I'm telling you, there's a lot going on in an hour and a half. And then you have to add in all these sex scenes and all these killing scenes. There's a lot of sex and a lot of killing. And he did a good job. There's a lot of sex, a lot of killing. And it worked. I was watching it because, you know, you want to watch it be like a really bad critic because you're watching it like this. Oh, God, my family's going to come. We're going to make fun of me. You know, and I was like, this is cool as a fan. Like, this This is a real movie.
Do you have a hard time watching yourself on screen, or is it okay?
There's certain scenes I go, God, I look fat there.
You get extra critical. You're not even concentrating on the scene. You're thinking more about what it is you did yourself.
No, I mean, truthfully, like, when you're done shooting it, you shoot, like, especially a movie like this, you shoot it like 50 takes. So it's the director's movie. It's the editor's movie. I mean, it really is. So I'm kind of like, I just blame them.
So you're like,
I don't know. I did a really good job.
So it must have
been waiting, you know. The DMDD could have done, you know. I kind of like it because, you know, you're learning stuff. I'm like, I wonder why they took that take. I mean, I know because I've done movies enough. I mean, this was my biggest budget, but, you know, I was there. So I like watching it because I'm proud that it takes. I hate when actors say I don't watch myself on screen. I'm like, well, you know what? It took me a long time to get here. I want to be front row. I want to watch that movie and be proud of it. And, you know, there's certain scenes that you cringe and go like, oh, God, you know, my lip looks weird or snot's coming out of my nose. And then there's other scenes I'm like, I'm right. Exactly, you know, you didn't back off. If it doesn't work, you're like, oh, I beat out a lot of people to get that part. You know, it's a really, I mean, you guys know, you're in entertainment.
Right.
Just to show up is a lot of damn work. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of it for that. And, you know, I could analyze all sorts of things. And I do. But I try to just say, like, that's Sally Hilliker. And Sally Hilliker does have to be, you know, a supermodel. But Sally Hilliker, you know, that's what her boobs look like.
So you were saying this movie throws it back to the fans. So are you saying this is probably closer to the original Wrong Turn, and the ones in between are kind of almost like washed away?
No, well, I would say it's just a total reboot. And I don't know if the fans like that. I mean, I think they do. I think if Fox bought the franchise, and I'm not speaking for Fox, I'm just saying what I would say is this is interesting. This is opening up the movie larger. This is a much larger movie. You know, I actually liked Number 5, but Number 5 wasn't setting up like folklore, you know?
Right.
So if you're a fan of Wrong Turn, I mean, how many times are you going to put the kid, you know, you have to give something more. Like, kids go down, they take a wrong turn, and the cannibals want to eat them, and then we cut them all up. You know? Like, after a while, you want to know something more epic and weeping. I mean, I would never. I'm actually a fan of Twilight. Don't tell anybody. But, you know, Twilight needed to grow for the fans to be bigger. Mm-hmm. So I'm not comparing this to Twilight. Don't get mad at me. But I'm saying, in this way, it felt really big to me. All of a sudden, we're shooting in a big castle. You know, the scenes feel majestic. And some of it was whoever scored it. I read an interview. He just scored it so well. And it made it feel like something big was happening, you know? And that was exciting to me. And watching it. So it just felt like a real movie. Like, you saw these big set, you know, and you saw they were careful to do some helicopter shots. You know, Valeri gave on the smallest things. He would, like, stop the shot and, like, redo it. And you'd be like, Valeri, like, we're just showing the plate of food. What's the big deal? And he would go, oh, just because he spoke broken English, you know. He'd go, just one more time. You know, we did it like 20 times. So, I mean, it was an attention to detail and us all wanting really bad for it to be kind of epic and cool for a Wrong Turn. It's a lot to ask fans to keep coming back to a series enough for it to go direct to video.
Right.
Because if fans stop watching, there's no more movie.
Right.
You know?
Talking on the direct to video and maybe like the modern age where there's fewer and fewer video stores to find it. Is that how has that been to promote for something that, you know, is in a different format than most people are used to maybe trying to search out for? Like, if it's not on Netflix or Hulu, you know, is it harder for you to kind of market and throw that out there?
I think it will be. I hope. I think it's going to be on VOD and across the board.
Cool.
It is weird because, you know, you don't know on these interviews, you don't know, like, how many people even see them, if it makes a difference. But, you know, Clint at October Coast is wonderful. I really love him. And I come from the idea of all press is press and more press and, you know, you never know. And the more people who know your name and who hear about the movie, and I just feel super lucky to be part of a franchise that was already in full swing. So I just feel the more you do and the more people who spread, you may watch the movie and say, you know what? I kind of liked it, and I'm going to put a thing on IMDb. And you know, the fans are in more power of movies now than actual movie. I mean, that's what's crazy. Wait, how did that happen, right?
Like with Twitter and Facebook and social media, it's like it just blows up so quickly.
It's all the geek revolution.
It is a geek. I mean, it trips me out because, you know, we had sort of that with Nipples and Palm Trees a bit, is people really liked it. And we really had it with House of Bat. This little film that we did that I was like, no one's going to like this movie. We don't kill enough people in the movie. We don't, you know, it's just not violent enough. And somehow all these horror magazines gave us great reviews. And so it did really well. And Big Bear Horror Fest, you know, gave a good review. And so it really surprised me because I was like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore because it's really, the geeks have taken over.
We are.
TV and say, look, I heard, you know, I heard on a blogcast Sadie talking about Wrong Turn, and she was like pretty rad, so I decided to watch Wrong Turn, and I'm going to help her out and, you know, give my review. And all of a sudden that, you know, that review goes on my page. That means more than sometimes it could have ticking bad reviews, and then, you know, the quote unquote geeks could be like connecting on Twitter, hey, check out Wrong Turn, coolest movie of the year, blah, blah, blah. And you go like, well, what are you going to do now, studio? Got another one.
Yep.
It's almost making Rotten Tomatoes irrelevant anymore.
You're so right, right? I mean, you're so right. We did. But same thing happened with Nipples and Palm Trees. Like, Nipples and Palm Trees got panned from who you think would like it, LA Weekly.
Hated it.
Variety hated it. We thought LA Weekly would love it, actually. Variety hated it. What was the other one? I mean, we really thought, oh, these are going to be our peeps. They'll know we did the movie for $10,000. It's going to be great. No. They called it bigoted and bad. And then somehow on Netflix, I guess because of the title, it kind of stayed afloat.
I was going to say, the title's my favorite part. I know nothing of this movie, but I'm already interested.
I'll tell you, the title's deceiving. It is a little deceiving.
It is deceiving because it's actually a sweet movie. And then a couple of people wrote some reviews that said, you know, don't let the title fool you. There's a sweet movie in here. Jeez, the title sucks. And then some people said, only watch the first 5 minutes of the movie. Turn it off. Worst movie of my life. Save your money. And that kind of, you know, that kind of like dichotomy of like, I hate this movie. Person deserves to die, but I only watched 2 minutes of it. This is my favorite movie of the year, changed my life. And then other people saying they named their band after Nipples and Palm Trees. You know, it was like, it was just so weird. And you're like, you know what? That's really kind of cool and empowering. And in 5 years, I don't want to say this because I think being a critic, you don't want to take their jobs away either. But it makes being a blogger, you know, doing podcasts, doing things like that, it almost makes more people get to have
right. The
things, their dreams come true. You know, well,
I will say the first movie I remember seeing you in was Chavez, Cage of Glory. And I think I just shocked her.
Oh, this is seen that movie.
Where I work, I'm an audio engineer at Walt Disney World, and there's a bunch of us at the park that I work at who are big MMA fans, and it's just one of those. It's like we heard about it through all the MMA stuff. I was like, so we found the movie and we watched it. And I thought it was a very intriguing movie for what it was. I guess I'm one of the five people who have seen the movie.
To be so careful what I was saying. I was very, very grateful and lucky to be cast in that film, Chavez. It came out in 400 theaters. There was billboards everywhere over LA, which I have to tell you was a really rad experience. I mean, to be driving in LA and to see all these billboards, not with my pace, mind you. However, I got to play a very sweet wife. I was so sweet. Danny Trejo's in it, Stephen Bauer, and it just got released at Best Buy. However, did you see what the box cover looks like?
I have not seen what the cover looks like for the DVD.
She's got it. You think it's got her face on it?
I'm not sure, but you know, that's the first time.
I'm gonna tell you why. They'll understand why this is so funny. So you're an MMA fighter guy, right?
Right.
We got two guys that are duking it out in an MMA ring. It's got Chavez Cage of Glory on it.
How pissed are you when you get home?
So so was that the same art that was on all the billboards too, or was it different? No,
it was different.
Okay.
But it's very funny because this is what the box cover looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a family movie.
Oh.
So it's not a hardcore fight movie. Michael's being very sweet right now. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, no problem.
So, I mean, mine was a very sweet storyline, but it's very sweet. But this is what happens. The box comes out. This is at Best Buy. But it's a family movie. I don't know who these people are.
They're just two dudes that want to kick each other. That's all.
They're not in the movie.
They're not even in the movie.
Oh my gosh.
What? How does something like that happen?
Yeah.
It's a wrong turn.
Okay, so I had a job for a little while where I was at other people's box office, where they were using like my hair and parts of my body, and this is what happened. You know, the distributors buy the movies and they choose how to market the movies and they do the trailers and they do, you know, the billboards. And that's what happens. Right. So you don't have a lot of say over it. I was a writer for the movie Scorned, and, you know, you write it and I'm proud of it. I got in the WGA. That's very exciting. And Anna Lynn McCord was in it and Billy Zane, but I wanted it to have like, be very quirky, and I wanted it to be more Glenn Close, and Anna Lynn did an amazing job at the part, but I wanted it to have different, be a little different, you know, but you just don't have a lot of creative control because everyone does their job the way their job's done. So, I mean, on a positive note, it's everybody else's baby, which answers the question, honestly, you know, do I enjoy watching myself on screen? Yeah. Because I understand it's not my baby. You know what I mean? It's not mine. Like, once I'm done with the part, it's very easy for me to say, well, that's the editor's baby and that's the director's baby. So whatever they want to do with it, I already gave my, you know, 30 takes a scene, whatever. And I love the director-actor relationship. So, you know, I try to really stay, like, eye contact. Like, hey, how we doing? What else do you want? So I know that they're not, you know, is there anything else you want? And then I just go like, hey, it's their baby. You know, if they chose every take where I'm smiling, that was their story. It's always the director's vision first, and then the editor has to figure that out.
Which baby is harder to give away in essence? Is it harder for you to let them take your acting that you've given them or your writing that you've given them and just let somebody else?
Writing. You could kill somebody. And you can get over the writing because you're like, because you could argue it to the cows. You know, you're like, wow, could you? You know, acting, it's still a performance that you did. You know, you try never to do a performance that's god awful. know, I try never to throw away a performance, you know. You know, I try to make sure that every single take, it's at least something that it's not going to be stolen from me. Or like, okay, if they use that, I would still say, well, they used that and that was okay. You know, I might have preferred this or that, but it's okay. You know, I mean, I get critical like a chick stuff, or I'm like, God, maybe I should have lost like an ounce, or why didn't they fix my makeup, or you know, I don't like my hair in that scene, but I'm supposed to look Amish and weird, and my hair's all like, my hair's all lippy. I'm like, I'm supposed to look strange and weird, you know. Supposed to, so I'm like, okay, that's what I look like.
I can only look so pretty at a cannibal smorgasbord.
That's my job, okay.
Do you have a favorite kind of genre that you like to work in? I know you've done, it sounds like you've done a couple of horror movies. Would you say that's like you're drawn more to those kind of roles, or is there something that you haven't done that you'd be interested in doing? Are you ready for Shakespeare now, or what do you like to do?
I've done Shakespeare in theater, but I would really love to do I'd love to do a dark romance. I'd love to do a romantic comedy. That would be so fun. I could be very funny. it's funny. I'm getting kind of lately. I've been playing a lot of crazy characters, and it does affect you. You know, in some ways, it affects you because it gives you permission to act crazy in real life. You know, you're like, oh, I'm not allowed to do this in real life. This is the normal. But you know, I'd like to do like an indie, you know, festival thing. You know, I want to do that thing where I get to be at like, you know, Sundance, where I'm like, blah, blah. I'm in this very smart film, you know, which would be great. But I'm working on a documentary right now that I'm directing. That's kind of about finding Bill Murray, and that's probably fulfilling that urge.
Finding Bill Murray, as in like really finding him, or like in the like metaphysical, you know, psychological stance, or something like that.
I think both.
Both. We all want to be Bill Murray, right?
Yeah. We all want to be Bill Murray. Yeah, but no, like really finding Bill Murray, and he's not easy to find. It was right now.
Don't you just get one of those Hollywood maps, and you can go right to his house? And
no, it's a hard thing.
Really?
Set up a fake wedding reception. He'll show up.
Yeah.
I know, right?
He's so been doing all kinds of things. Like, he's everywhere. He's, like, driving taxi cabs and...
Well, he's, what, dropped his agent and pretty much almost gone off the Hollywood grid, except for those who are in the know.
No, so. That's the problem. And I got like within 50 feet of him, and so I've been working on this project for a while.
Did you only get 50 feet because that's where the restraining order kicks in?
Funny, okay.
So what is it that
I wish mine was 50 feet.
So what is it that kind of got you inspired to do the Bill Murray documentary? Is it just kind of like you really just kind of been a fan of his for a long time, or is it just a something that he said or done that's really just kind of struck with you, that you know, like that's the messiah right there I must follow?
That's it right there. No, I think probably everything you guys had, like our whole reaction. You know, sure, I like his movies and everything, but it was like, you know, I was tossing around an idea about doing a documentary, you know, and the idea, I mean, Bill Murray's kind of this person when you read stories about him, you're like, oh, like, why didn't I meet him? Like, why haven't I had a Bill Murray experience? Like, of all people, mm-hmm. should have a Bill Murray experience. Like, mm-hmm. someone writes about, like, oh, Bill Murray showed up at my house party and washed my dishes. And yep. You have this weird, like, jealousy of, like, why wasn't Bill Murray at my house party washing my dishes? Like, we're way cooler than they are. You know? It's like that bragging right, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like that shooting star thing, you know? So then it started off like I thought it would be like a 3-month project. Now it's going on almost a year, and you're like, like, where are you?
Right.
And some of it was because I started filming Wrong Turn. I was going to go do this event in Florida, and then I got booked, you know, being a hillbilly cannibal, you know, I can't say anymore.
That sounds exactly where Bill Murray would show up, though. That's kind of funny you didn't just already come to your set.
That's true.
I know. I'm like, okay, I can't do this. I've got to go to Bulgaria. And then the funny thing is, I'm like, what am I doing chasing another actor? And then in the midst of all this happening, because of Wrong Turn being such a big hit, I'm having a lot of people write me a lot of fan mail. And I'm like, oh, this is so weird for me. Like I'm not a fan of Bill Murray, but I'm like, it is kind of creepy in a weird way. So I'm being like extra respectful for the fans because I realize that it means something to them. Right. They like endow you with stuff, you know. And some of it's out of loneliness. You're like, oh, they're lonely. They're like, they're lonely. They don't realize that I'm like 2 weeks away from being totally unemployed. I have no job in 2 weeks. Like, wow, you're my hero. Like, I need a new job.
Have they sent you any fan art or anything like that? Have you gotten?
Yeah, I get a little bit of stuff like that.
Do you have a weird one that you can share that won't get you like cops called on you or anything like that?
Yeah, you know what? You know what's weird is they do. At first, because I wasn't really allowed to talk about anything, and I kept getting these like fan pages made that were other actors from the Wrong Turn series, and so I'd be like, why are the other actors from the Wrong Turn series seeking me out? That's so odd. They're like, oh, congratulations, welcome to the club. And I'm like, oh, that's so great, okay. And so I talked to them, and then by like the fourth message, they'd be like, so tell me about Wrong Turn 6.
They're scooping our info.
You know, so I realized that they were like fake fan pages trying to trick me.
Mm.
And then some of them are very, very sweet, but they're like, you know, they're like, I have a 13-year-old, and so they're like 13-year-old kids, and I love them. I love them. But, you know, there's like a responsibility with that, you know, and you start to say like, I wonder if someone's watching out for them.
Mm.
You know, like I get very like, you know, you don't want to feed into it too much, and you don't want to not appreciate it.
Right.
And I go like, God, that's a big deal. It's a big deal, you know.
True.
And it's these things because you're approachable and it's a cult film. And there's something weird about it. It's also different.
Also, in like this day and age where, you know, you with Twitter, Facebook, all the, you know, internet, where you can more easily connect with people that you see in movies and TV shows. And think back, like when you were 13, 14, 15, like how much you would have loved to do that. You would have just died if one of your, you know, favorites had written back to you or something like that. And now that happens like all the time. And, you know, it's almost kind of weird to think how a kid now, how, you know, is it harder or is it easier for them to kind of connect with somebody because it's almost so easy to connect with everyone?
Yeah.
And for a kid not to be able to, you know, feel like he's being able to connect to somebody and then maybe somebody just reaches out of a little olive branch and says, hey, you know, you're being noticed. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, well, and then you have to. And then I think you should, like, maybe too, then they realize, like, hey, you know what? Here's the deal. It's just a job.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a job, like, you know, like it's a dream I had, but like it's your dream to do radio. So you guys are doing radio, like, so, you know, there's one girl, I won't say who, but she's doing a really great blog. It's a really great fan tribute blog, and she shows a skill for writing a horror blog, and there's no reason why she shouldn't continue it. Not about Wrong Turn, on something else. And maybe that might be something for her afterward. You know, she's passionate about it. She's that. And, you know, it's hard not to encourage someone to say, like, look, you sat down, you're taking the time. Like, this could be something for you. And she lives in another country, you know. And my heart gets kind of like, like, you know, it's just a job. Like, it
so,
is.
So now...
You know, you get more famous or less famous, but either way, it's just a job.
But if you didn't have this job, yeah, what would you do, right? The best job you can choose.
It's the most awesome job ever. If I didn't have this job, I would be putting on my own play. You know, if I didn't have this job, what I would be doing is I would be writing plays and be like, hey, the restaurant down the street that I could put on a play for the senior citizens. Do you guys want to come? I mean, I'll always be an actor. So that will always be something I'll do. And that's just the way I've never not done. My school didn't have a theater program when I was in grade school. And so I wrote a play and then convinced the principal to have an assembly. It was very bad. And have an assembly and have the kids at the school come watch the play. So, like, I was going to have a theater program come hell or high water. So, you know, I'm just always going to do this. Okay. Unfortunately.
Awesome.
Unfortunately. It would be nice if we did something else. Something less stressful.
So, being part of the Wrong Turn franchise now, have you gotten the calls to show up at various horror conventions like Spooky Empire or others across the country?
That's sort of one of the perks that I think would be really rad. I hear they pay you for those things too.
There you go.
I'm supposed to be doing I'm doing a Q&A for the premiere at Screamfest on the 17th. And then I'm just kind of getting to know that world. I'm doing the red carpet for the Screamfest. I mean, a lot of those people have really earned their right in it. I never really, I was busy doing a lot of stuff. I think that's going to depend on whether or not the fans connect to my character. And if they connect to my character, and I'm not going to be sitting at a table by myself, which is really embarrassing. Like this. Hold on, guys.
You want me to sign something?
That would be really cool. And if that, that would be cool. You know, I think I really tried to create a character with Sally that was really fun. I haven't created on screen a character like Sally. But I haven't really created someone like that. I have in theater, but not on screen. So either the fans say, wow, we really, connected with Sally, or they don't, And if they do, then I'd love to show up and say, like, hey, cool,
Well, if you ever make it down to Spooky Empire, give me a shout, because that's here in the Orlando area. And they do two shows a year. They do Mayhem in May, and then Spooky Empire.
Well, let me know.
I get it.
I have to check it out. It's like Orlando.
So, what upcoming projects do you have in the works?
Well, State of Desolation, which is directed by Jim Towne, starring Jamie Bernadette and Dominique Swain, and Craig Stark, which is a zombie post-apocalyptic movie. It's pretty damn good.
Who do you play in that one?
I play an oversexed, I play...
Oversexed zombie? Is that a thing?
Not a zombie. I play, I want to say, a Jim Jones. I'm dating right there. It's like they're... And the zombie apocalypse, I don't want to give away too much, but they try to take refuge in this camp. And the camp is sort of a commune of sorts. It seems a little bit too good to be true, and I'm the head of that.
Special Kool-Aid.
For Kool-Aid. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. And that's going along just really, really well. And that was a treat. That was a surprise casting. And I've got some other stuff in the works that I'm on hold for. So I'm really excited about. Good. It was really cool. So, and I'm working on the documentary and seeing what happens with Wrong Turn and going from there. But we'll wait for State of Desolation is the next biggie.
Are you shooting that one right now, or what process is that?
It's just about wrap.
Okay.
I'm just shooting something in South America. I did something Crystal Skies on Sci-Fi that's supposed to air again. Don't know when it's airing again. So I've got another thing that we're shooting. You know, it's a weird thing in acting. It's like, you know, we're supposed to be shooting a thing called Diamond Queens. The script is amazing, and we just got held on it. So I'm kind of like, how many days? I'm a few days away from my birthday, so I'm chilling out right now. I'm doing a lot of press for Wrong Turn, getting ready to wrap State of Desolation, and then I'll have a little bit of downtime, like 2 weeks, and then it's going to start all up over again.
That's long enough to celebrate your birthday, right? 2 weeks?
Yeah, do you do birthday month? Do you guys birthday month?
My month is in March, so I got a long ways to go.
Mine was back in August.
Yeah.
February.
Yeah, I'm a Libra, so we're terrible sign because we take our birthday and just harass people with it, like, a month before, a month after. Remember, it was my birthday 2 months ago? Yeah.
Don't forget it.
I beat the out of my birthday, but normally I buy people. I plan my own birthday party. This year, I feel like I've had enough attention because of the Wrong Turn stuff. I've done so many interviews and I'm like, I don't think my friends are going to like me anymore. Like, hey, do you want to celebrate me again?
Again, like, fine.
No, we don't. So the Wrong Turn 6 premiere on the 17th will take the place of a birthday party. In LA, you're asking people a lot to drive anywhere, you know?
And will that be the order, like Wrong Turn 6? Is it'll be like, yeah, at the premiere and then the video on demand, or is it already out on video demand? I want to make sure people understand.
I think it'd be October 22nd.
Okay.
And it's weird. They said Halloween, but I think they're going to release it a little bit early. And, you know, I say marathon.
That's true.
It doesn't really have anything to do with the, you know, it doesn't, it can be, it stands alone though. So it doesn't link up to number 5 or anything.
Gotcha. And have you already got your Halloween costume picked out for this year? Since you're going to be in a horror movie, people are going to want to know what your Halloween costume is this year, right?
Everyone keeps asking that. You know, aren't you so sick of like slutty cheerleaders, slutty cops, slutty Superman, slutty Batman?
And those are just the kids' costumes.
I don't know what to dress up as. I feel like I want to dress up as something ridiculous. And then last minute what happens is I get invited to a party where it says, like, dress to impress. And then I'm in something slutty again because it's not...
Go with the witty route or something like that. I can't think of really anything right. You know, the only thing that comes to mind is that episode of The Office where Jim wrote a book on his face and he was being Facebook. So you like one of those really like, yeah, it's like, I don't get it until you tell me. And they're like, oh, now I'm an idiot because I didn't. Yeah. So you can go for one of those really witty ones. Go for it. Well, I mean, like I said, it's from The Office, so you're not stealing from me at all. You can go right ahead.
Always do the old red carpet dress and say you're just going dress for the red carpet with your Halloween costume.
I had a friend in college. He bought a nice suit and it was close to Halloween, so he wore the suit because he was really proud of it. And people would ask him what he was. He's like, I'm a number one draft pick. And I'm like, it was brilliant because it was like using two things at once. He got to wear his nice suit and he actually it was a clever costume. So at the same time,
it's so funny because I know nothing about sports, so I had to think right then, did they wear a suit?
Oh yeah, they bring some bling and the suits to the draft. So there you go.
Really?
Oh yeah, because they know they're about to cash in. A lot of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Secretly, I just want to really wear like Cinderella. Like if you really like not slutty Cinderella, like full on Disney version Cinderella, authentic. Except if I did that, people would be like, "What is wrong with her? What is wrong with her?" Like the slutty version of Cinderella would be like, "Did you see what she was wearing? Oh my god!"
Yeah, she's so right.
Yeah. Everyone at the whole party looking at me like, "Wow, she has got like mental problems." I want to come in like a full on Belle outfit. They're playing it full, no slutty version, totally up. Like I am Belle.
And stay in character the whole night, never break it.
Totally.
Yes, you're in fantasy land.
Can always go dressed as Sally from Wrong Turn 6.
Might be an easy costume this year for you. I'm sure you can steal something from wardrobe.
I wanted to, you know what? I wanted to bring my costume because I thought if I went to like Comic-Con or something, but the movie hadn't come out yet. And I was like, I'd be like walking around and everyone would be like, who the hell are you?
I don't get it.
So hopefully people will know next year. You know what would be really rad? Is if people knew, and I went to Comic-Con dressed as myself and saw somebody else dressed as Sally. I'd be like, yes!
That's when you know you've made it in life.
That would be pretty cool.
It would be. And then also, by this time next year, for Halloween time, surely one of these networks will pick up all 6 Wrong Turns and just air them back to back to back for Halloween night, right? And then everyone can see Wrong Turn 6.
Yeah.
And 5. And 4 and 3 and 2 and 1.
Oh, boy.
That would be a pretty killer Halloween night right there, wouldn't it? You could live in infamy.
Just keep taking that wrong turn.
You have to see it first, and then you let me know.
We will.
You let me know after my family sees it and tells me if they still like me. Wrong Turn is disgrace upon my family. My family's pretty open to it, so we'll see. You guys are so awesome. How long have you been doing this show?
This is actually episode 93.
What are you going to do for your 100th?
We were just talking about that tonight. It looks like our 100th will probably fall around Thanksgiving, which will be a pre-recorded show where we're going to talk about Saturday morning cartoons.
Smurfs?
Yeah.
Smurfs, possibly.
Jam?
Yeah.
Truly Outrageous?
Because Mike, we had the conversation earlier. Mike posted the story that this past weekend was the first weekend in how many years?
At least
40 years?
I'm 44.
Yeah.
Saturday morning cartoons have been going before that. I want to say maybe from the creation of television.
It was the first time that they did not have a form of Saturday morning cartoons on any of the network television channels. Because the CW was the last one to have it, and they went to educational informative program. So it's still for kids, but it's not cartoons. So we were like kind of pulling up the nostalgia of the cartoons. So do you remember sitting in front of the TV and vegging out on some Saturday morning cartoons growing up?
Oh, we used to share our TV guide and circle me and my girlfriend. We get choices, and I would pick like Punky Brewster, the cartoon.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Remember that one?
Snorkels. Snorkels was a good one.
Snorkels was the Smurfs underwater. That was the Snorks.
Yeah. The one Sadie's talking about, they were like curl up into balls, like puff balls, if I remember right.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot about those.
Yeah.
Nice.
Then he had shirt tails.
I used to have the t-shirt. And you know, what's really crazy is my girlfriend hated when I picked Smurfs. Like, I was so nerdy for picking Smurfs. I freaking love Smurfs and Punky Brewster. Like, the cartoon, both of them. But, you know, yeah, it was a big deal for me. Big deal. Like, so, and you know what? My son doesn't appreciate cartoons. All the cartoons have, like, double innuendos and they're really dirty. And, like, I didn't know what Adult Swim was at night. And one day I'm, like, sitting there chilling out watching cartoons with him, and I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is what you've been watching for 3 years and I let you?
Oops.
I'm the worst mom ever. Like,
or the best mom ever. Who knows?
Or the best. I'm like, I thought these were cartoons, and it's like the two gay neighbors and they're having sex with the dog, and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, cartoons have changed a lot since we were kids. They especially,
even
you pretty much credited.
Bad.
It can be. Yeah, you credit back to the South Park. Ever since probably Simpsons and South Park, they kind of changed the landscape of what you can do with cartoons.
Yep. South Park is really clever, though.
Right. This is true. This is very true.
Crazy, okay? South Park is very clever. Sure. But yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. You guys are so awesome.
No problem. So where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at Sadie. _cat, Sadie _katz, and facebook.com/SadieCat, which you can actually get to my personal page from there too. That's my fan page. You just gotta find me on there somehow. Like a little hidden thing, but I will accept you on both. You can be my fan and my friend.
Whoa.
Hey.
Facebook's really stupid. Like, I just got to 3,000 fans. It was kind of epic for me. And then Instagram is under Sadie Cat.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not much for bikini posts, pictures, but I promise one day. I can't be makeup ready every day to take pictures on Instagram. I have other to do. But I'll get better.
Awesome.
I promise. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you.
So, thank you for coming on.
So look for Sadie in Wrong Turn 6 coming out October 22nd, direct to DVD and hopefully video on demand at the same time. And also look forward to finding Bill Murray. Hopefully she'll find Bill Murray.
She'll let us know.
So Bill Murray, if you're listening.
Thanks for watching Chavez, by the way.
it was one of those flukes. When Clint sent the request to have you on the show, I'm like, that name sounds familiar. It was like, went back, looked up Chavez. I'm like, that's where I know her from. So, well, thank you for coming on the show. And we're looking forward to seeing Wrong Turn 6. And hopefully see you at horror conventions soon.
You know what? If you send me any invitation, I will try to figure it out. And I would love to do that. I keep getting sucked into this horror world more and more. And I love you guys so much. You're actually, you happen to be nice people that are obsessed with killing people. I'm just kidding. Fine. I'll keep making these disgusting films. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
The bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Check out the pop culture podcast that everyone is talking about. Follow the show on Twitter at Well Watchers. Listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and thewellwatchers.com.
Introducing Rebel Force Radio,
your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary
with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
Rebel Force Radio.
You are on the front lines of fandom by listening to this show.
Jimmy Mack and Jason Swank usher in a new era of Star Wars podcasting.
Rebel Force Radio.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Stay tuned for special announcements about the Rebel Force Radio official webpage.
Leaving no Star Wars fan behind.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next.
Hot dog!
Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Pardon the interruption. I have some news which I believe you will find most interesting.
Would you like to hear the latest in Marvel television, film, and comic book news? Are you looking for some suggestions on what to pick up on New Comic Book Day? Well, join Mike and Ken every Saturday night at 8 p.m. on Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio, your source for all things Marvel.
There is a matter that requires your attention.
Mighty Marvel Geeks, assemble!
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?